Hey, welcome back. Second half hour of tonight's show. Hobble and Frank in studio, and we're honored to have Terry Gates in person in the studio. So we got a lot of basketball knowledge here. We got a couple of guys on the phone. I think the first caller waiting to get in is Marty. Marty, if you have a question and comment, go ahead with it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a diehard football and basketball all the way, Wahoos all day. One thing I do have a little bit concerned about with Virginia is, I think Bennett talked about this a little bit, I think the forcing a couple threes here and there, I think sometimes that can get us into a place, especially when we're not attacking the basket or when they're not throwing it inside. And I'm really concerned about Nolte as well, too, him missing those free throws. Obviously, his confidence is gone. He missed those free throws. He shot an air ball in the last game. So I think his confidence really needs it. I already thought at the beginning here, he would be the X factor there. If he can come in and hit a couple threes, that would be beneficial for us. And my last thing I'm going to say, I do feel that Lon Parente should be a little bit more aggressive with his shot. He really has a really nice shot, But
Bless you.
When it comes down to it, that, he really should look for a little bit more. I'll hang up and listen to you guys respond.
All right, Mr. Gates, go ahead.
I think at times the offense has been stagnant. I think Mark's got a great point there that, they move the ball around sometimes, but sometimes with no purpose. They get the ball inside and they do a lot of passing, but they pull it back out and set it back up again. I think sometimes they do rely on a late three or a quick three, and certainly Evan Nolte has not hit his stride this year. They're going to need him. He's like the seventh player on this team, and he's struggled from time to time shooting the basketball, and that is his strength. So that is something for this team to progress. He has to progress and get better and get out of that slump. And I will say this all along, that for this team to get better, Marty's correct. I think Lon Parente needs to be more aggressive with the basketball. He needs to be more aggressive getting inside to the paint, and he needs to take wide open three-point shots with inside of 15 seconds, because they will not get a better shot than that half the time.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think there are times, he really is pass first.
Yep.
I think he views that as his role.
He's Jeff Jones reincarnated is what he is.
Yeah.
Remember
A little more athletic than Jeff, but that's not an issue.
Jeff was 6'4", though, but Jeff would not shoot.
But London certainly has demonstrated at times that he can be an excellent shooter. So I think, he'll recognize that to some extent. Evan Nolte, in my opinion, he has been a disappointment this year. And I think his problem is between the ears. I just think he's kind of psyched himself out a little bit. My guess is if you went to a practice, he's probably lighting it up. But, practice is not games.
Exactly. And he is fighting mentally and physically for playing time.
It's almost like a pitcher when they start aiming rather than pitching. And you get a sense that he's just he doesn't have the confidence in his stroke right now. They used to say maybe sometimes the best thing to do in that case is try to get close to the basket and see the ball go through the net once or twice. It can help your confidence. But you're right. He certainly could be a key contributor and would be one more potential perimeter shooter. You got Brogdon, who certainly can make shots. Anderson has demonstrated that he's become a pretty good shooter. As you say, London can, but it still would be nice to have Nolte be able to come off the bench, and we had those open looks, knock him down.
And he had some big games for Virginia last year. He just hasn't had one this year, and you're hoping when he comes in the game, he makes a difference on the offensive end. And when it doesn't happen, I'm sure he's as frustrated as any fan sitting in JPJ is.
One thing about Nolte, I think he's the kind of guy, he knows he has to hustle on defense because he's not the quickest pair of feet on the floor. He is long. He is tall. He's pushing 6'8". I think there will be a point at some point here, probably the next 4 or 5 games, where he makes a couple of shots and all of a sudden everything will change for him. As for Lon Parente, his nature is not to force a shot. And he really doesn't look for a shot except late in the clock.
He's a lot like me. He's really pass first.
That's not what Barry Parkhill said.
But anyway, we got another caller. We got Brandon on line two. Brandon, if you're with us, go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, guys. 2008 grad here. Actually, I had a comment and a question. My comment first was, I know we got obviously a tough schedule coming up, But I guess what I was most impressed this year, I know y'all were speaking about small, quick guards are kind of our weakness. I thought the most impressive win really this year was against VCU to kind of go in there, because the Siegel Center, that's the first time I've been to a game there. And a couple of us went, a couple of UVA grads went, and it was pretty crazy environment for being a little bit smaller. And I just felt like when we got up big, then we got kind of knocked it to 4-6, and I was kind of a little worried we were going to get a little tired out by that type of, I guess, havoc or whatever defense they call it. But then I felt like we fired back and kind of just came strong. So I thought that was very impressive compared to since they beat us last year at our place. But also the question for you, I guess, would be is, what do you think has been the most impressive win so far this year for you guys? I'll hang up and listen to you.
Well, the only thing I'd say about the VCU game, the Weber kid beat us off the dribble like three straight times in the second half, and I think Graham knocked down threes from the corner that really cut the lead. You know, we were up by double digits, and all of a sudden it was bang, 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 three straight threes. Next thing you know, we're only 4 points ahead, and that's when, you know, London Perantes made a great drive to the basket. And speaking of Evan Nolte, in that game, he did make a big three that extended the lead, and then Anderson made a three. So we had an 8-0 run after that VCU close. But anyway,
Maryland. I'm going to say Maryland. I thought the victory up there, particularly the symbolism of Maryland no longer being in the conference. We had lost at Maryland last year to wrap up the season up there at the Comcast Center. I think that sent a message nationwide, just the way Virginia handled the ball in that game, and despite all the whistles, because great Scott, the three officials working that game did everything they possibly could to keep Maryland that game, and Virginia just would not let Maryland get close enough to steal it.
Well, I'm torn between Notre Dame and VCU. VCU, as Brandon said, what a great environment that is. They should play that game every other year down here. I don't care what conference or whatever, maybe two out of three up in Charlottesville, one down here. But VCU has a tremendous full-court defense. Virginia used their size in that game, got great shots. They are a matchup problem. I mean, Bronte Weber can get to the basket, and Trevion Graham hits some huge threes, and that's part of that pack line defense. You collapse against the penetration, but you got to get back out and protect it against a three-point shot. It's very hard to do.
Well, you guys, you discussed it. We have three road wins over ranked teams, Maryland, VCU, and
Notre Dame.
So, I mean, any of those three are big wins. But I think our biggest wins are yet to come. You know, how about that for a dodge?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, and I would not you'd have to almost throw Miami into that picture because
– Yeah, Jim, particularly the way we won that game.
The way they won the game, they didn't play so well. They were up early. Miami will win some big basketball games this year.
Miami's good. Yeah. Miami's really talented.
They crushed Duke.
Yeah.
That was on TV last week.
And we were beat at the end of the second overtime, and it took a miraculous couple of plays by Justin Anderson to make sure we had a second overtime. So that game, you know, of course, as you well know, I mean, you know, to stay unbeaten as long as they have, you're going to have to not only be good, but you're going to have a little luck once in a while, and maybe we had some luck down there.
All right. Remind our listeners, if you would like to call in, 345-0910. Hubbo and Terry, looking ahead, huge games coming up, but they've got to stay focused against two teams that are clearly struggling. Georgia Tech has found ways to lose, and Virginia Tech is a team in transition. They're rebuilding. Buzz Williams has got a full plate. He's trying to reassemble a basketball program there. How do the coaching staff and Tony Bennett keep this team focused on these two games? Because Virginia will be favored by like 15 points in each of these games. Virginia was favored by 12.5 at Boston College, just to give you some comparison.
Well, I think the Georgia Tech game's at home. It's the next game. It's after a little bit of layoff. It's a Thursday night after a Saturday. They should be well rested. I think they understand what's going to come, you know, when Duke and UNC and Louisville, but it doesn't mean nearly as much if you're not 19-0 on January 31st. And you need to take care of business. This team does a very good job of taking care of business, and it all starts with their defense. So it's a matter of if I'm Coach Bennett, I'm just trying to make sure that I've got my five guys focused and the guys coming off the bench, you know, give me a lift. And that's the key. We've got a cast of characters coming off the bench. Some are first year. We talked about Evan Nolte, who's kind of struggling. You got Toby, who's not starting. He's used to starting. And, you know, if you're the backup center coming into a basketball game, I mean, the officials can take advantage of someone like him, and he can be sitting down in 2 minutes. You know, I can write you paragraphs and
well,
chapters
amazing,
on that.
The amazing thing where you have to take your hat off to Tony and his staff is not only does this team focus on every game, it seems like they focus on every possession.
Yeah.
Which is mind-boggling to me. Now, against Clemson, you guys were there in person. I was watching on TV. But it seemed like in the first half, I didn't see the energy or the passion in the first half. Now, maybe that was a tribute to Clemson's defense. But then I don't know if Tony said something at halftime, but the light went on in the second half, and they were an entirely different team.
No, I thought Virginia took some very good shots in the first half. The ball was bouncing around the rim softly. They just weren't going in. And you know, the Virginia philosophy is get back quickly on defense and get set to battle people in half court. But, you know, in the second half, everybody on Virginia's team scored except for Evan Nolte. I mean, did B.J. Stiss score? I think he scored even.
Yeah, but it was just against Clemson. The offense looked a little – I mean, they were decent shots, but it just wasn't crisp. And, of course, when you make shots – everything just gets better and easier.
The offense looks a lot more fluid when you're making shots.
And I will say this, what concerned me in the Clemson game, Clemson got the ball inside in the paint multiple times in that first
half.
And
they have some athletes.
Yes.
And they also play defense.
Yes.
So they beat Syracuse over the weekend. I know, you know, so Clemson, you know, maybe they're a middle-of-the-pack team in the ACC. And then, of course, the other thing about Georgia Tech, Frank made reference to it earlier, they've played Notre Dame very close twice. I'm sure they think they probably should have won both of those games. They're 0-5, so they're a little desperate. So, they're playing on the road against a number two team in the country, but, you know, they're not going to come in and roll over and play dead. They're going to come in and give everything they got.
I want to give you all a stat real quick. UVA has held 41 straight opponents to under 50% shooting from the floor. They rank second nationally in field goal percentage defense. Virginia also, believe it or not, I believe is second in the nation in block shot retention. So when the Hoos block a shot, they get the ball. And it's Darren Atkins actually is one of the best in the nation at that. It's the old the fellow that played for the Boston Celtics.
Bill Russell.
Bill Russell was a master at blocking the shot and right. then getting it and then throwing the ball ahead and starting a fast break. I think Virginia's defense, by nature of its ability to suffocate these people, and look at Boston College, 17 of 43. They scored only 51 points on their home floor. To me, that just speaks volumes. You know, when you hold a college team to 51 points on their home floor, I mean, that's some serious stifling defense.
Well, clearly, I mean, Virginia under Bennett is one of the better defensive teams in the country, if not the best defensive team in the country, and they're going to be in every game as a consequence. I think the key that's made Virginia better last year and this year is the offensive skills that we have all of a sudden. You know, sometimes people overlook the offensive skills that some of these right. kids have, but they're gifted players on both ends of the floor, as opposed to when Tony first got to Charlottesville. Right. You know, we'd put five guys on the floor, but you'd see two or three of them, and you'd think, do we really want them shooting the ball?
Right. There was only two or three options max.
So. Yeah.
Whereas, we got a lot of options now.
Now you got five guys on the floor that the other team has to guard. And you know, you mentioned Darian Atkins. Let me give him kudos. You know, his first couple of years, I was not impressed with his shot selection, but I think that's one of the keys to his improvement. The shots he takes now are much, much better shots, and I think within the confines of the offense, so I'm sure the coaches are happy when he takes a shot now.
I tell you what I like. He's intent on shooting. He doesn't want to pass the ball, and we had too much of that passing across the lane. If he catches the ball, he gets a good base. He gets that jump hook off. He has got better than a 50-50 chance of making it, and you need to score inside to have an effective offense.
Yeah, but even when he has a face up to the basket 10 or 12, 15 feet, you know, if he's wide open, he will take that shot, right. And he's made a bunch of them.
But he's also fourth year, so he's not worried about what happens next year, right?
Well, he has a chip on his shoulder. All right, we're going to jump to break. When we come back on the other side, we'll do the Olympic sports report and break down the upcoming games and sort of handicap what's ahead for the Cavaliers. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.